If you would turn with me this morning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, I'm going to begin a short series entitled The Tale of Four Prophets, which could also be titled, or the subtitle of the message is Prophetic Ministry in These Times. One of the things that I believe is going to happen, but number two, I believe we need, is the ministry of prophets. Amen. Real prophets. Amen. True prophets who have, who share the Word of God in due season. Powerful Word of God.
Amen.
In due season. And so, it's something that we should desire. In fact, I'm giving you a whole synopsis of my message. So we can all go home. No, I'm just kidding. But we need to hear from God, and I believe it's something that we should expect and something that we should search for, but also handle wisely. Mm. Amen?
Amen.
In fact, my text for this message, it is actually a word of caution regarding prophetic ministry. And it's from the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's his teaching on the time that will, or the times that will precede his second coming. And one of the things that he teaches, and how many believe that if we're not already in the last days, we are fast approaching the last days? And there are several reasons why I believe we may not be in the very last days, but we're certainly on a collision course for the last days because of a number of things that have happened and are happening.
Yes. Amen.
One of the things, of course, is the European Union. The Bible speaks of this, of Europe coming together, but not as one nation, as a kind of a federation of many nations who are not always agreeable. And if you look at the news, that's what's happening in Europe today. But there is something that binds them together, and that is their shared economy. The Bible talked about that way, way back in the time of John. Actually, even before that, in the time of Daniel, but also in the time of John. It's already happened. And of course, and I share this often when we talk about events that will precede the second coming of Christ, Israel. Amen. And the increased persecution of the Jews is also a sign. Israel coming to their land, and now Israel, I think the increasing persecution against Israel all over the world, God is using that to bring the Jews back to the land of promise in fulfillment of prophecy. There is the growth of the occult. We'll talk about that this morning as we share the Word of God this morning. But also, there is the refilling of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It actually happened over 100 years ago. Remember, you might be saying, well, Pastor Randy, that was a long time ago. Yes, it was, but remember, God's time and his concept of time is beyond our concept of time. You know, a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. We are in the age of the refilling of God's people with the Holy Spirit. Amen? It began back on Azusa Street. I think Roseanne, you mentioned Azusa Street this morning as we were talking. Holy Spirit being poured out with signs and wonders, and we are in those times now. And I am thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That we can live and move in not only in the love of God, but in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And I believe one of the key and critical ministries of the Holy Spirit in the world, not just the church, but the world, will be the ministry of prophet. And so we should seek earnestly for that. We should be open to that. We should desire that. And we'll talk about why in a few moments. Expectant of that. But like any ministry, we need to handle it very, very carefully. Our text this morning, our words of caution from the Lord Jesus Christ, from His teaching on the end times, from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, beginning with verse 21. There will, speaking of the times that precede His second coming, there'll be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you ahead of time. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing as we look to God's Word this morning. Father, we thank you so much for the love of Christ and for the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Both so wonderful, so powerful, God. And we thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege of knowing you and serving you in these times. God, as we look to your word this morning for wisdom and discernment regarding not only the times and how you will move, but how we should handle the moving of God's Holy Spirit in our midst in the world, we once again ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to fill this room. I pray your anointing upon this, your speaker today, and also upon every hearer here, because we need to hear from you today. Give us wisdom, give us encouragement, give us faith through your word. We ask this in Jesus' name today, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. As I mentioned just a few moments ago, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should, if we believe that we're fast approaching the end times. Now, having said that, let me add this caveat to that. It may be another 100 years before Jesus actually returns. So let's not get too ahead of ourselves. Don't overcharge your credit cards thinking the Lord's going to come and deliver me from all this debt. We need to live wisely, amen, the times that we live, and we need to live as though God is going to come at any moment, but He may not come for another 1,000 years. But we are running furiously towards His return, and both the Old and New Testament teach, it's one of my favorite scriptures, that God is going to move mightily, powerfully, and supernaturally in the world through His church before He comes again. Acts chapter 2, which is Peter's quote of Joel chapter 2 in the Old Testament, Peter says this regarding the move of God's Holy Spirit, which we are experiencing now. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Interesting thing, there are two things that are mentioned twice in just these two verses. Number one, the universal outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, and we've talked about that before, what it means. It means God empowering His church, but also convicting the sinner. That's why we need to be seeking for the moving of God's Holy Spirit. This is not in my notes, but friend, this morning, New London County is dying. And what I mean about the dying of New London County, I'm talking about spiritual death. Souls that are dying without Christ and don't care. In fact, how many here have bumped into people, have shared with people who don't even care whether they know Jesus, whether God exists or not, and whether they're going to heaven or not. They don't even care. We need revival. We need the Holy Spirit. That's it. I was reading a book about, you know, secrets. You know, the author used the term secret sauce to get people saved and get people engaged and coming to church and serving God. There is no secret sauce. It's the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't call the Holy Spirit secret sauce. It's disrespectful. But what we need is the movement of the Holy Spirit of God. Church, are we crying out to God for God to move by the power of His Holy Spirit in our county? Not only upon us. Let me tell you, when I pray for God to move upon me because I need the Holy Spirit, not just to preach, to live. And I pray for the Holy Spirit to move upon this church. We want to experience God's power when we come together. But are we praying for God's Holy Spirit to descend upon New London County? God, send a revival. Not revival services, revival. Pour out, you know, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I'm really getting off my notes today, so I don't know where I'm going to end up today. And I don't know what's going to happen in second service either. So praise God. But the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, if you study the book of Acts, and I know you have, are unique, powerful times. It wasn't just God poured out His Spirit and everything was, you know, the same afterwards. It was, you know, God pouring out His Spirit, the church empowered, people convicted, people were getting saved, and then they sought God again, and then God poured out His Spirit uniquely and powerfully again. That's where we are now. Amen? We need a fresh outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. And so, that's one of the things that's mentioned here in these two verses, that God's going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh, saint and sinner, believer, non-believer. But also, what is mentioned twice in these two verses is the ministry of prophecy. People will be prophesying. People will be witnessing. People will be teaching the Word of God. People will be sharing their testimony. But people will be giving prophecy, which we'll talk about what prophecy is in just a few moments, just to remind ourselves. But what our text cautions us about is that not only will the Holy Spirit, two things. Number one, move upon anyone to share a word from the Lord or a word of prophecy. You know, there's the gift of prophecy and then there's the prophet. But God is going to be raising up prophets. Those who have that unique calling to preach the Word of God, and I believe to be a discerner of the times and of the will of God. And we'll talk about, you know, not only what prophecy is, but what a prophet is. But Jesus cautioned us that, hey, because this is the way of Satan, you know, he's the great imitator. He's the liar. He's the deceiver. He's going to be raising up his own prophets that have absolutely nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the word of the Lord, with the Holy Spirit. They'll be evil. They'll have an evil ministry, a deceptive ministry, a corrupting ministry, and we need to be on guard against it. So we should expect increase of the prophetic ministry. We should also expect increased false prophetic ministry or increased deception, which tells us this, which leads us to this conclusion. You and I, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the internet has transformed the church, where we have a variety of, somewhat cable TV, but more so the internet. There's so many avenues to us as far as prophetic words, the ministry of the prophet, or so-called prophetic words, and so-called prophets. In this day and age that we live in, you and I, the church, we need to be more discerning than we've ever been before. Because one thing I don't want, and that we can't have, and forgive me for using this term this morning, is garbage masquerading as prophecy. Now let's begin this morning. We got a little bit of a late start, so we might not get too far, but rest assured we'll catch up next week. Let's first look at what a prophet is. And you know, as far as, and we're going to focus on the ministry of prophet, because the Bible says that false prophets will come. So we need to know them. We need to know if they're a true prophet of God or a fake prophet of God. Because anything the devil does is very, very convincing. He himself appears as an angel of light. Let me tell you what a prophet isn't, or one way you can't discern a prophet, and that's through their personality type. I don't know about you, but for me, when I think of prophet, you know, some of the people that come to mind is, you know, one of the greatest Old Testament prophets was Elijah. And you know, he was kind of a unique individual. He wore funky, he wore the same garb as John the Baptist, actually. You know, the camel hair, and he had the wild hair and whatnot, and he was fiery and demonstrative. And then of course you think of John the Baptist. Jesus said he was the greatest of all the prophets, and he was kind of the same way too. Bold, demonstrative. And yes, prophets can be forceful. They can be eccentric, and I think we can properly use the word eccentric to describe John the Baptist and Elijah, but some were rather normal. They didn't let their hair grow wild. They didn't dress in wild, crazy clothes. They kind of dressed like anyone else. Some would boldly proclaim the word of God, but some would weep. Such as Jeremiah the prophet, who was a mighty, powerful prophet of God. Of course, in Scripture, especially the New Testament, they were not only male prophets, they were female prophets. Now, many are thankful today that the Word of God teaches us in Christ there is no male nor female. Some of the most powerful prophets of God are both male and female. God is no respecter of persons. And me and Jesse were just having a conversation yesterday about some mighty women of God. Which leads us to a question, well then, what is a prophet? And specifically, what does a prophet do? And literally, if we just have the most simplest definition of prophet, it's one who either declares or who speaks for. It's someone who has a message and who shares that message. And I dare say the ministry of the prophet, because of the nature of their ministry, is one of the most powerful ministries, because it centers around one of the most powerful things that is in existence in the universe, that being the Word of God. You might be saying, why do I say that? Because the Word of God, according to the Word, and since the Word of God is inspired, is quick and powerful. In fact, and I use this illustration often, how did the world come into being? God, although he could have used his hands, did not use his hand. Or his feet, or angels, He spoke the word, world, excuse me, into existence. God said, let there be light. What happened? Boom! Light! God said, let us make man in our image, and man out of the dust of the earth was formed, and so on and so forth, all the other aspects of creative life. How did Jesus commit or exercise healing ministry in the Word of God? To those who were deaf, he said to their ears, be open. To the eyes, see. To the dead, rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. To the demons, he commanded them to go. And they went. So powerful is the word that John's Gospel, chapter 1, puts it this way. In the beginning, referring to God himself, to Jesus Christ, in the beginning was the what? Was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Prophetic ministry is powerful ministry because it is the ministry of one of the most powerful things in existence. The Word of God, which is God. Goodness. And it affects the ministry of the prophet, affects both saint and sinner in deep, profound spiritual ways. Of course, when we think of prophet and you know, as Pentecostals, especially one of our favorite passages of scripture is 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, which talks about spiritual gifts and the administration of spiritual gifts. But one verse sticks out in particular as it relates to insight regarding prophetic ministry within the church. And that's found in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. One of the ways, and this is why we need to obey the Word of God, the direction of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy, is because when prophecy is being ministered to a group of believers, because it is the Word of God, because it is quick, because it is powerful, it strengthens believers, it encourages believers to continue on. When they're weak, it gives them strength. And when they're distressed, when we are distressed, it gives us comfort. I don't mean to be Pentecostal this morning, but let me say this. Are we hungry for the prophetic word in our midst? We should be. God teaches us that we should be. Of course, this scripture deals with the prophetic ministry in the context of the church. But the ministry of the prophet is so much more than that. Of course, one of the things that we think of a prophecy, especially certain prophetic books like Daniel and Revelation. Prophecy speaks of things that are to come, and actually almost all the prophets had some kind of foretelling or sharing of what would happen in the future. Excuse me, this morning. So there's that aspect, but there's even so much more than that. When we read about the ministry of the prophet, we see that prophets expose sin. You know, this is one reason why people are kind of afraid of prophetic ministry. Because what prophets do is that what they bring what is hidden in the darkness into light. So that God, for a good reason, so that God can deal with it. And a perfect case in point is John the Baptist. You know, he called them, you know, broods of vipers. And they're like, what shall we do? What did John say? Well, just live good. You want to be right with God. You want to get the kingdom of God. Well, he didn't say that. He said, for those who are greedy, be content with your wages. And just went on to list specific things that people were doing with, that people were involved with. A prophet exposes sin. A prophet also shares the blessings of God. You know, when we think of prophets, you know, like present day prophets, we think, maybe not so much now, but back when I was growing up, you know, in the movies and things, it was always a guy with a sandwich board with repent and the end is coming. You remember those things? And, you know, that was the prophet. And it was all gloom and doom. We're going through the book of Isaiah on Wednesday night. And you know what I'm finding? Actually, I found, and we're looking again. I'm finding in the book of Isaiah is not only the exposing of the sin of God's people, there's the promise of the blessings of God. Amen? That God loves us. That God will heal. That God will deliver. And above all, that God will save. There's also the ministry of encouragement of the prophet, which we did mention. They share the promises of God, which are yes and amen. And promises are so important as we serve Jesus. Because in the world, every one of us, as we live for God, every one of us live in a world of great uncertainty. And if you just look at your situation and circumstances in the natural, it would drive you crazy because so much can go wrong. But thank God for His promises, which are yes and amen. We can hold fast to them and know that they will come to pass. And one of the ministries of the prophet is to share and remind God's people of His promises. Amen? That God is still on the throne. That God will bring us through. They do pronounce judgment, not judgment of their own, but the judgment of God. I'm getting a little ahead of myself this morning as far as our text. But let me tell you what we don't have in this country, and that is a prophet that is speaking to the nation or the nations. And one of the things that we see consistently in every true prophet of God and the scope of the ministry of the prophet is not only in a church sense or an individual sense, but also in a national sense. That is very, 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 very key, very, very critical. Calling nations to repent before God because of its sin. Our nation needs a prophetic voice, amen?
Amen?
To bring the conviction of God upon it. Because our nation is living as if God does not exist. At the worst, God does not exist. And at the very best, God doesn't care how we live. Nothing could be farther from the truth. They pronounce judgment, but they also, thank God, they call to repentance. Judgment, other than final judgment, is not a hard and fast rule many times. How do we know this to be true? We know this to be true, number one, individually. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. There's a judgment of death upon all humanity because of our sin. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That judgment passes over us if the blood of the Lamb of God is applied to our lives. Bless God. Amen. In the Old Testament, the city of Nineveh, as recorded in the book of Jonah, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the prophet. He went, actually the second time, not the first time, came to him a second time, and he went to Nineveh and said in 40 days the city would be destroyed. They humbled themselves, they repented, and God repented of judgment and spared the city. And that call, not only that declaration of judgment, and interestingly enough, and this is the wonderful thing about the words of the ministry of the prophet, it's not just words, they're anointed words. The words of Jonah brought a spirit of conviction, not condemnation, upon the Ninevites, where they humbled themselves before God and found forgiveness. But it did not happen until Jonah was obedient and shared the present, fresh word of God with that city. Of course, the ministry of prophet is one that gives hope of God's grace and forgiveness, which we just spoke about. And the ministry of the prophet, as we mentioned, is to everyone. One last thing, and I had hoped to get a lot farther this morning than we got today, and I may get a little farther in second service. But that's neither here nor there. Another important ministry of the prophet, and why it is so necessary, is that because it is an anointed ministry, an anointed calling, it elicits strong emotional and spiritual responses. When a prophet ministers, true prophet, it stirs people's heart one way or another. And what I mean, in different ways that the anointed words of a prophet stir people, number one, not everyone reacts to prophetic ministry the same way. But to those who are receptive and open to the ministry of the Lord through the prophet, and again, these are callings of God. There's nothing in a prophet themselves, only the Spirit that rests upon them. As that word is being delivered, a strong sense to those who are open to the Lord and to His ministry, a strong sense of the fear of the Lord. Why is the fear of the Lord so important? Because it is the beginning of wisdom. In fact, without the fear of the Lord, you cannot become born again. If you don't think God is greater than you, then you need God. And you're accountable to God. It all comes to the ministry, you know, the response to this sense of awe over who God is, and actually dread because we're sinners. You can't come to Jesus. So as the prophet moves, as well as the evangelist, this happens through other ministries as well. But the fear of the Lord, which leads to both two things. Number one, the conviction of sin. And I say conviction, not only, I shouldn't have done this, I feel bad for my sin. You know, one of the things, and I think why we have a lot of short timers, as far as believers, you know, they kind of accept Jesus and they kind of go away. They understand here in their minds that they've done wrong, but they don't really feel bad about their sin. They don't really feel sorrow over their sin, that they have offended God and they've hurt others. If you don't feel that sorrow over your sin, it's very difficult for you to get to the place that you need to be to receive not only God's forgiveness, but God's radical transformation in your life that comes through brokenness. I'm broken over my sin. God, I need your healing. Not only is there in the fear of God that conviction of sin, because God is so awesome. And one of the most awesome things about God is his love. It's the conviction that he loves us. And that he wants to receive us. He wants to accept us into his family. And even though I'm sin and I'm broken over my sin, God loves me. And this fear, your perfect love casts out all fear, and the dread, the awe is still there, but the dread is gone if I act on this and receive Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. But there's also the other side of the coin as far as the reception of true prophetic ministry. Number one, because either you're exposed, and this is what happened with the religious leaders and the political leaders at the time of Jesus. Because a prophet brings that which is darkness into light, and therefore shame upon individuals. Some people, instead of getting convicted, get angry because they like their evil deeds. Your men love darkness because it hides their evil deeds. Some, and we talked about this recently, but it bears mentioning again. Some, because to come to Jesus means you need to surrender your life to Jesus and give up control. I don't want to give up control, so I don't want to hear this message. And so the reaction to this is rejection, revulsion, and rage. Anger. Persecution. All they're doing is sharing a message. But the leaders at the time got so bent out of shape, they would imprison, kill, stone, starve the prophets of God. And others, in their hatred, and so this, we need to understand this as well because it comes with it. Others respond with jeers, taunts, mockings, and ridicule to undermine the message. But the common denominator between all these different kinds of responses is when the prophetic ministry is in operation, it is impossible for it not to elicit some kind of response, which is why it's so desperately needed today. So in closing this morning, and I'm really just the tip of the iceberg, and so we'll probably, I thought this would be a two-weeker, might be a three or four-weeker, where that leaves us today. And let me tell you, it's especially important for our church. When I say our church, I'm not just talking about Norwich Assembly. I'm talking about the Spirit-filled Pentecostal, charismatic, whatever you want to call it, a church that believes in the full gospel. Yes. The Holy Spirit moves today like he did back in the time of the apostles. And we be praying and we be earnestly desirous of true, genuine prophetic ministry in the times that we live in. Amen. May that be part of our searching. May that be part of our seeking this morning in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing a chorus as we close out the message today.